If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with us to 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter. In 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter, how a believer can see a crisis through to victory. We're not survivors, we're overcomers. We are not survivors, we are overcomers. We're not just hanging in there holding forth. We are overcomers. And that's what my heart is set on, and I believe your heart is set on that too. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and of Ammon and with them other beside the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Now I went back to chapter 19 and I want to call your attention to some things that are there in chapter 19. And then we'll pull the two together. Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned to his house in peace to Jerusalem. Sometimes we may return in peace, but we haven't always done the thing we should have done. And Jehu, the son of Hananiah, the seer, the prophet of God, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, Church, listen to me. Shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? The question was asked the king, should you help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Well, how does God feel about that? Sometimes we get all caught up in how we feel about things, but how does God feel about that? He said, therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. Nevertheless, there are some good things found in thee. You know, aren't you glad that God's a God of mercy and a God of grace? You see, the king had been guilty of exactly what was said. Why did you help the ungodly and love those that hate the Lord? Doesn't mean that we hate the people, but why have you been a friend of evil? Why have you promoted evil, directly or indirectly? He said, nevertheless, there's good things in thee. And he went on to give some things that I thought were very interesting. He reminded him that he had taken care of the idols. He had called people to seek God with all their heart. And he went out into the hill country and the king operated as an evangelist and called all the people that weren't serving God back in to serve God again. And so there were several things. And he said, I have seen your prayer. I've seen the righteous things that you've done. You know, God is so fair, isn't he? I said, God is so fair. And sometimes we see people do things so strange. And yet it's God's mercy and God's grace that it doesn't consume us. It's God's mercy and God's grace that it didn't consume Abraham and David and a few others and some of us in this room today. And so God sees the good, and the grace of God weighs in the good. And that's what he had to say to Jehoshaphat. He said, you've helped the ungodly, you've loved them that hate the Lord. You've helped the wrong cause, but there's some good things here, some good things that are found in thee, and God was complimentary of that. Now here's the thing that I'm saying. No matter how many good things are in your life, it doesn't mean that the evil one is not going to come against you. And in 2 Chronicles 20, this great number comes against Jehoshaphat. This great number comes against Jehoshaphat. An impossible situation. I want to tell you from God's word how to see a crisis through to victory. We're not going to pacify it. We're not going to sweep it under the carpet. We're going to face a crisis and see it through to victory. Jehoshaphat, the army's coming against him. The majority's against him. And what happened in that circumstance? First of all, Jehoshaphat understood the seriousness of the crisis at hand. And he feared. All of us have experienced fear. But David said, what time I am afraid. God tells us what to do with it. What time I am afraid, I will put my trust in God. What time I am afraid, I will put my trust in God. So the first thing, he dealt with fear. If you're ever going to be a leader, if you're ever going to stand up for God, you've got to learn how to deal with fear. If you're going to run a business, you have to learn how to deal with fear. If you're going to raise children, you have to learn how to deal with fear. Anything you do in life, you're going to have to learn how to deal with fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I'm human enough. You're human enough. When we face something that we don't know what to do, that for the moment, that, you know, that little momentary panic comes. But then right then is when you lock in and say, God has not given me the spirit of fear. There's a fear not for every day of the year throughout the Word of God. Fear not, fear not, fear not. But you got to get a grip on that and say, I choose to believe that, and I'm going to stand on God's Word, and I'm not going to quit. He dealt with fear. Secondly, Jehoshaphat understood that your actions and decisions affect many people. We may not realize this, but I mentioned in the previous message that the most insignificant person alive today vitally affects from 3 to 7 people. You may think no one understands you, but somebody's watching you. Several somebodies are listening to you. They watch what you do. They listen to what you have to say. And you affect many people's lives. Jehoshaphat had influence and he used it righteously. Thirdly, King Jehoshaphat set himself to seek God and called all of Israel to fast and to ask the help of the Lord. Folks, there's one thing you can do when you don't know what to do. You can pray. You can call upon the name of the Lord. And their prayer was very simple. Lord, help us. Lord, we need your help. And he called the people together. But there's another one that we mentioned that I won't expand on today. King Jehoshaphat reminded God before the people of God of God's past promises, power, and victory. You see, Jehoshaphat said, God, are you not the God of heaven? Folks, I don't know of anything that will build your faith when you face an impossibility to just stop and remember, who is God? How big is my God? What's his track record? He said, God, are you not the God of all heaven? Started about verse 15. He said, Lord, you're the God of all heaven. Don't you rule over all the kingdoms of the heathen? Don't you have power in your mighty hand so that none is able to stand against you? Folks, we serve a big God today. He is the God of heaven. He is the God who rules over the kingdoms of the heathen. He has power in his mighty hand so that none is able to stand against him. You know, sometimes you just get the devil all blown out of proportion. Our God's a big God. He's an awesome God. Don't get him stirred up. Hallelujah. You know what Jehoshaphat was doing? He was stirring God up. He said, haven't you promised that when your people stand in church in the presence of God and they cry out to you, that you will hear and you will help? We're gathered here today in the name of the Lord, and there's two things that God promised to do. God said, I will hear your prayer and I will help you. God said, you're in my presence today, and when you prayed a while ago, I will hear you and I will help you. God hears and helps. You know, the devil comes up and says, you know, your prayer doesn't do any good. You know, people pray and things, yeah. Oh, yeah. Every time I pray, God hears and God helps. Every time I pray in faith, believing according to the word of God in the name of Jesus, God hears and God helps. Every time I pray to the Father in the name of Jesus in faith, believing according to the word of God, God hears and God helps. Thank God for that. Well, I like what he's doing here. And he went on to say, he said, now just look, God. The enemies are come to cast us out of your possession. Boy, now he's putting the hurt on God. Lord, these enemies are come to cast us out of your possessions. They've come to steal from us what you've given us, Lord. Don't you see what is happening? How they come to cast us out of thy possession, which you have given us to inherit? God, do you care? And God really gave me this little 3D thing, and I want to share it with you. When the pressure's on, how do you see your crisis through to victory? Sometimes we think about it for a while, and we get tired, and we run off and do something else like a child. First of all, remember God's past promises. Has God ever given you a promise? Has God ever given you a word? Has God ever spoken something to your life that really did come to pass? I want you to think. I want you to go back to a point in time in your life. It might have been yesterday, last week, last month, a year ago, 3 months ago, 3 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. A time when you faced a totally impossible time in your life. Your family, your marriage, your business, your personal life, your school. And you called upon God. No one could help you. No one would help you. There was no one to offer you help. But you called on the name of the Lord, and some way, somehow, God turned things around for you. Oh, this builds your faith to see a crisis through, not to stop midway, but to see a crisis through until you come to victory. Remember God's past promises. Remember how that God spared my life coming into the senior year of high school. I should have been dead, could have been dead, but God spared my life. And I remember later on how that God helped us time and time and time again. I don't know how young married couples make it without the help of God. I don't know how anybody makes it without the help of God. And then when we started in the post office on Berry Street, God gave me Isaiah 41 and 10. Thank God for Isaiah 41 and 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will help thee. I will strengthen thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Oh, folks, I'm telling you something that's very important. Something that's very important. Remember the past power and the past victories of God. Has anybody experienced any past power and any past victories? The same power that delivered from drugs and alcohol is the same power that is available today. That wasn't a power of a few years ago. Remember back what God's done. Mark, remember back to the time when God spoke to you and said, if you'll tithe for 1 year, I'll change your life. And you believed that, brother. And you stayed with it, and it was a challenge, and you really had to discipline yourself. But you heard something in the past, and you believed it, and you walked it out, you lived it out, and God's changed your life. I'll tell you, God's the best banker in town. I'll tell you, God's the best helper in town. God's the best strength in town. God's the best resource available. Remember the past things that God has done. Oh, the Lord just reminded me, it's not been that many years ago, before we got all the finances settled, when the 30-day eviction notice came in our properties, 5th and Penn Street. No one would give us a loan. No one would help us. Everybody would just string you along until the last moment. I'll tell you, the loneliest time in the year are holidays when you're trying to get something done in business. And then it would continually keep going back to that Christmas time. Dear God, nobody returns your calls. Nobody wants to talk to you. You almost feel like God had an unlisted number and left town. And we got that 30-day eviction notice, and I just got in my car. I've only fainted 3 times in my life. That was one of them. In my office, I just looked at that thing, and I don't remember what happened. I just couldn't handle it. It was too much pressure at that time. I got up and got in my car and drove out west. Don't know where I went. Don't know how long it took. But I got a hold of Isaiah 45:11. He said, you can talk to me about, ask me about people or concerning events yet to come, but concerning the work of my hands command ye me. You take your shoes off when you start believing that promise. That's a burning bush you don't fool around with. And I began to cry out my spirit began to cry out. I don't even know how I'm driving. Tears are just running down my face. And I'm just, it's just like God must, angel must have driven for me. And I declared for a decree that some way, somehow, God was going to raise somebody up that would help us. I want to tell you, God has a ram in the thicket for you. God has a ram in the thicket for you. There's always a ram in the thicket for you. I remember I came back to the office and the hours ran together, but a message came and they wanted to meet with us downtown at the Fourth Club. And I walked in. I couldn't find anybody. Couldn't find anybody. See, that's why I'm so hard-headed. That's why my faith just won't quit. I've not only been up against the wall, my back has been embedded in the wall. And I remember they were in a circle, lawyers and CPAs and those that had given me a lot of problems. And then there was a strange guy that was there. And they poked fun. Yeah, you're the guy that's on the radio that talks about miracles. Where's your miracle now? We're calling you note. Where's your miracle now? We thought you believed in signs, wonders, and miracles. Where's that big God you preach on? And that time we'd been on Channel 39 a while back. That's years ago. And said, we saw you on television. You were bragging about how big your God was. Oh, I didn't want to talk to anybody. I just listened. And finally, the guy that I didn't know stood up and he said, I want to talk to the preacher in the other room. They said, what do you want to talk to him about? He said, that's my business. He walked in the other room and he sat down, looked me in the eye and he said, preacher, tell me about your church. I said, what do you mean, tell me about your church? I didn't want to talk to anybody. He said, well, what kind of a church do you have? Do you have any people? Anything happening there? Anybody getting saved in your church? And God said, unload on him. And I began to tell him about the alcoholics that had been made sober. I began to tell him about those that were on drugs that had been set free by the power of God. I began to tell him about the families that God had united and put back together. I began to tell him of the widows. And yeah, there had been two or three widows that had almost emptied their little widow's mite to help us to keep that church. And now the notes threatened to be called and it'll all be over with. We burned our bridges behind us. We let another congregation have the church that we had, just ceded it out to them. And I went on and talked to him. He said, well, what is your vision? I told him my vision. He said, well, do you have any staff? I said, yeah, I've got a staff. Really? He said, all of this that you've told me is not what's been told me. They said, you don't have anything going. You want out and you're just looking for. I said, that's not the truth. I said, God called us downtown. God has a vision. God has a ministry. And I said, if I can just find somebody that'll believe in me, we're going to do it. And that big 6'5" guy, big guy, tears begin to run down his cheeks. And he said, I'm a backslidden Baptist preacher. And I've gone into business because I had personal problems in my life. And he said, I lost the things that happened to me in the ministry. He said, preacher, you're supposed to be in that church. I'm going to help you stay in that church. He said, you'll have $1.5 million in 90 days. Bless God, we had it in 60 days. Thank God, thank God. Some of you might say, I've heard that story before. You can hear it again and again and again. This is not some little mail order church that sprung up from nowhere with no mission, no goals, nothing going. I want you to know that Calvary Cathedral International is a strong church in a strong city, and we have a strong vision, and we have a big God, and we have a strong mandate from God. And it's going to take more than twin tornadoes to blow us off of that vision. It's going to take more than the powers of hell to push us away. It's been prophetically said that he messed with the wrong people. You mighty right, he messed with the wrong people. You start pushing us, God starts pushing back. You start messing with this group of believers, God sends Michael and Gabriel and they engage in warfare. So Jehoshaphat, you don't understand, sir. You've had it. Why don't you just put up a little white flag and quit? He said, no, you don't understand. Let me tell you the power and the promises of my God in years gone by. Oh, I serve the God that parted the waters for Moses. Hallelujah. I serve the God that quenched the fire for the Hebrew children. I serve the God that shut the mouths of lions. I serve the God that fed the multitude in the wilderness. Don't mess with me. I serve a big God. You serve a big God. Folks, we got to get a new grip on how big our God is. We must get a grip on how big is our God. Some people are always promising something they never produce, but what God promises, God fulfills. The Bible said not one word of all of His good promises failed to come to pass. Folks, if you get a grip on that with me, we'll move this mountain a lot quicker than we would otherwise. Not one word of that promise that you got a hold of. This is not just preacher stuff, this is believer stuff. Not one word. You say, well, something didn't work. Well, then you just misfired on something. Back up and start all over again. My God is not a misfiring God. My God is not a, My God keeps His word. What God says He will do, and what God promises God will fulfill. Some of you need to get back on the promise that God's given you. Get back on the word. Get back on the promise. Get back on what God has said. You might as well quit, Jehoshaphat. He said, you don't know who we are and you don't know where we're coming from. Glory to God, we serve an awesome God. I just want to talk about how big my God is today. I mean, God even knows how to take a rebellious prophet. They throw him overboard. He goes into a fish. And even the fish can't stand a rebellious prophet. There wasn't enough Rolaids or antacid. That fish said, this backslidden prophet makes me want to... That's what God said. Unless you're, if you're lukewarm, He said, you know what God said. Folks, we've got to get back on how big is our God. He was big enough to save us. He was big enough to keep us. He was big enough to move mountains. Dear God, all God's done through the years and some little old puny thing and the now get me upset. You got to be crazy, man. We've come too far to turn back. We've come too far to quit. We've come too far to compromise. Our God's a big God. Your God's a big God. Your God is a big God. Your God is a big God. Big God. Big. Bigger than big. God is the giant-sized God. See, there's three things that keep you pushing through the crisis to victory. Remember God's past power and His promises. Number two, remember how big God is in the now. I've seen God do miracles this last week. I've seen God help people, bless people, touch people's lives. I've seen God in action this week. This week. This week. I see God in action here this morning. Look at you and you and you and you. Look at the grace of God all over this house. We're not little pitiful castaways. We're the blood-washed, blood-bought, forgiven righteousness of God in Christ. Just look at the grace of God in the now. We're not castaways. You may be an orphan on earth, but you're not an orphan in heaven. Remember God's power and His promises in the past. And you know, this little down home with me today, but you know, just a few days after the tornado, if God's grace hadn't been with us, I don't even want to think about it. But I know where it could have been. A lot of churches never come back from what hit us. But when Satan came in like a flood, when the enemy came in like a flood, and you remember Brother Dale Gentry prophesied that after the first natural tornado is going to come a Holy Ghost tornado that's going to eclipse anything that the first tornado brought. It was a vicious wind that could tear up a building in 42 seconds. It was a vicious wind. The weather people at that time repeatedly said there were twin tornadoes. I'm not a weatherman. All I'm doing is listening to what they say. It's a vicious wind that can come in 42 seconds and trash a building. But I want you to know there's a wind that's bigger than any tornado, that's stronger than any hurricane that has ever blown. And in the upper room there came a sound as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled the house where they were sitting, and it filled all of them. It's the power of the Holy Ghost. Weak men became strong men. Cowards spoke up. Peter spoke up. And men rose to their position in Christ. And thirdly, there's three things to remember now that'll help you push this crisis through to victory. Remember what God's done in the past. This is not just preacher stuff. Put it where you live. Remember God's promises in the past. Just look at God's faithfulness in the now. And remember, the key to seeing all that God has promised us is to just stand in faith believing. Think it, believe it, speak it, meditate on it. God has, God is, but watch it, God will. God has, God is, but watch it, God will. Eye hath not seen and ear is not heard. All that God has for us. How do you see a crisis through to victory? We're not talking about survivors. We're talking about overcomers. Some of you are facing some real stuff. All right, first of all, you deal with fear. What time I'm afraid, I'll put my trust in thee. It's all right here in 2 Chronicles 20. Number two, you understand that your actions and your decisions face many people. None of us is an island unto ourselves. Thirdly, Jehoshaphat set himself to seek God. Everybody can pray. Prayer is something that everybody can do. And he called all of Judah to fast and to ask the help of the Lord. Fourthly, King Jehoshaphat reminded God before the people of God's past promises, his present faithfulness, and the future that was yet to come. Oh, and King Jehoshaphat reminded God of their utter dependence on God in the now. Man, I can hear that king saying, God, we have no might, no power against this enemy, but our eyes are on you. What's wrong with that guy? He can't talk right now. He can't write right now. He's not communicating right now. Oh, just hush. He's looking up to the hills from whence cometh his help. He's looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of his faith. He's getting a God fix. He's getting a faith fix. He's getting a heaven fix. He's looking up to the source of where everything that he needs is coming from. And then they got an unshakable word from God. A lot of people get a word, but it's not an unshakable word. They lose it before they get to the parking lot. They got an unshakable word. Thus saith the Lord to you, he said in verse 15. Be not afraid nor dismayed. You know, God was pretty stern here. He said, don't be afraid, but don't even be discouraged. You get a little personal here now, God. By reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. And God's going to bring this thing back where it ought to be. And it's going to be astonishing to all of us. He said, tomorrow go down against them. Behold, they come. See, he told them where they were going to be. And he said, you'll not need to fight in this battle, but set yourselves and stand still. Boy, that's the hardest thing in the world. I want to give them a piece of my mind. No, the Bible says, set yourselves. Get quiet. Get yourself a cup of hot chocolate or coffee. Stand still, cappuccino. Stand still. And see the salvation. I knew I'd get somebody snitching out there. And see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow. I thought you already said that, Lord. Yeah, I'm saying tomorrow. Go out against them. For the Lord will be with you. What would you attempt to do? What would you attempt to be? What would you attempt to accomplish if you knew beyond the shadow of a doubt that the Lord was with you? And He alone was fighting your battle. Remember, he bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord and worshiped the Lord. It's going to happen one of these Sundays. We've seen giving Sundays. We've seen praising Sundays. We've seen running Sundays. We've seen shouting Sundays. There's going to be a time of the glory of God, and we're not waiting until we get back home. There'll be services where the glory of God will be so thick there's nothing to do but just get on your face before God. Oh, my God, my God. The problem is we've got our head in the wrong cloud. I said we've got our head in the wrong cloud. I said we've got our head in the wrong cloud. The cloud of unbelief, the cloud of fear, the cloud of hope so, maybe so, hopelessness, whatever. Oh, God, send the glory cloud. Ho, 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 ho. Send the glory cloud. He just bowed before the Lord. Got a sure word from God. A sure word from God. And they began to, oh yeah, don't forget the praise. Don't forget the praise. The thing that I really wanted to remember, God's past power and promises. Please remember that. Remember God's present faithfulness. But also remember that the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. I said the best is yet to come. You know, I'm convinced you have to live a little while to have enough sense to know how to live. Man, I'm sure glad God didn't give me some things I thought I should have had many years ago. I would have already blown it. I'd have been through it. But God is raising up a last day army of mature soldiers. And we're not going to blow it this time. We're not going to count lightly what God does for us this time. We're going to be a thankful bunch. We're going to be a faith bunch. We're not going to take for granted what God has done in the past. We're not going to go on every little quick feeling and emotion. I believe this end time army is going to hear God more accurately than any group that's ever walked the face of God's earth. And the Bible tells us that the end result of this, please listen to me, the end result of this was 3 days that it took them to gather the spoil. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 25, and when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, you see, they heard these sound effects. Get this in your mind. God knows how to send your enemy to Florida or Oklahoma or Arkansas or California. God knows how to get rid of your enemy. That's what I'm trying to say. But you don't understand, my enemy is 20 feet tall and everywhere I go there's my enemy. Well, that's the problem. It's because he's your enemy. Turn that enemy over to God. God sent sound effects and man, I mean, they couldn't make tracks quick enough to run off and leave. And I mean, they left food on the fire. They left silver. They left gold. I'm telling you, God is an awesome God. And it all happened when they began to sing and to praise God. The Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon. And they just turned around and killed each other. You know, that saves you a lot of effort, doesn't it? Saves you a lot of effort when your enemy turns on one another and they take care of one another. Hey, I've seen that happen. And all this stuff we've gone through in these past years, get that thing settled. I saw our enemies turn on one another. And I'm just sitting there with that silly grin on my face saying, sick 'em. You know why you're so tired? You're fighting your own battle. You know why you're so worn out? You're trying to figure it out in your own head. You know why you're so fatigued? Because the weight and the burden of it's all on you. Oh, let go and let God have His wonderful way. Cast your cares upon the Lord. Cast your burden upon the Lord. He will sustain you. Oh, that's good. Took them 3 days to take away the spoil. The riches from the dead. Well, they were dead. They weren't going anywhere anyway. Might as well. And precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. I wonder how much gold you could put in your pocket. How much gold could you get in your purse? Some of you ladies have some pretty deep pockets in those purses. How many gold bars could you handle? You said, I'm willing to try. Huh? More than they could carry away. They couldn't even carry away what God did for them. And they were 3 days in gathering the spoil. It was so much. It was so much. No battle, no spoil. Well, Brother Nichols, I wished all this would come to pass and there wouldn't be a battle. Well, I do too, but I know it doesn't work that way. No battle, no spoil. No battle, no spoil. No enemy, no battle, no spoil. No enemy, no battle, no spoil. Folks, God wants to fight our battles for us. Amen. Make it easy on, you know, I've got a new motto with the things. Make it hard on God and easy on me. Lord knows I've gone through enough years making it hard on me and easy on God. I'll tell you from now on, it's hard on God and easy on me, because nothing's hard on God. Make it hard on God and easy on you. My yoke is, thank you. You say, give me scripture that my yoke is easy, my burden is light. You say, but you don't understand, everybody's bugging me and after me. I know, that's what I'm talking to you about. Let go and let God. You hadn't done a very good job with it. Why don't you let God, turn God loose on it? Turn God loose on it. Turn God loose on it. You know, I just see pockets of revelation just pow, pow, pow. And some say, what did he say, Mabel? Oh, there's a flow of God in this house today. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in God's house. I found a home. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I found a home. I found a home. Oh, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say, the Lord, he is my rock, my fortress, my strength, and all those wonderful things. Oh, thank God I've made my decision. I'm going to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. I'm going to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I fear? Of whom shall I be afraid? Glory be unto God. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed. I am thy God. I will help thee. I will strengthen thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Folks, you can't go under for going over if your faith is in God. You say, what are you trying to do? Make a bunch of radicals out of us? Yeah. I want you to trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him and watch it. He shall direct your paths. What about him? What about her? What about them? Forget him, them, her, whatever. Just trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him and watch it. God will direct your paths. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish the thing that I sent it to do. Whose word are you standing on today? Your word, somebody else's word, or God's word? When you come to the end of your abilities, you've just come to the beginning of God's vast resources. If God is your partner, make big plans. Turn your enemies over to God. Turn your enemies over to God. Turn your problems over to God. Let go and let God have his wonderful way.